This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig's Inns, Acura of Pembroke Pines, where you can get the TLX 2020 model for $209 a month, $29.99 due at signing, plus tax, tag, and registration. Check it out at 15601 Pines Boulevard.
All righty. Let's switch gears here. Let's talk a little Miami Dolphins. Coach Flo addressed the media today. Let's hear his comments, and we'll break them down like we always do. It is Seahawks week, baby. Let's see what he's got to say about the great Russell Wilson and company as they come to town on Sunday. Fire off, Bill.
First of all, great hat. Love that hat.
Congrats to Derek Jeter, Mike Hill, Don Mattingly. It's a great accomplishment by those guys. Same thing for the Heat. Great accomplishment. They played well last night. So congrats to those, to both, the Miami Heat and the, Miami Marlins. So happy for them and supportive.
I wanted to ask you about Byron Jones. You get a chance to get him, in doing rehab over the weekend, and how's he look?
Byron's working, extremely hard to try to get back as soon as he can. It's very important to him. So he's in here, he's working, he's making a lot of improvement. We'll see how this goes this week.
Guys, all right. Adam,
now, listen, let me tell you something. I think he's going to end up playing this week. I really do, because they didn't put him on the IR. So it's got to be where he's really close to coming back. But again, this is smart on his part, because the Seahawks don't know if he's going to play or not. And they've watched Noah for the last 2 weeks now. And that's what they have on tape now at this point. Remember, Byron ended up getting injured like right at the beginning of the game. So they don't really have a lot of tape. They got to go back to Dallas. But, I mean, corners are corners. And they're island corners, those guys. It's not like they're playing a system. Now, there are times where they do play some zone. So then you will see the same kind of responsibilities that Noah would have, Byron would share the same ones if they're playing that same spot. So at least they can feed off of that. I'm saying Seattle in preparation. But if you're Flo, there's no reason for you to tell, oh, no, Byron's looking good. He's going to play this week. You don't have to tell him that. You can wait till game day and just say, no, he'll be a game time decision. I would not be surprised if he goes that far to say game time decision by the end of the week. Well, he's trying and this and that. It'll be interesting to see how they handle that down the stretch. But if you could get Byron back against this guy, they need it badly. That would be really, really cool if they can do that. Go ahead, Bill, please.
I wanted to ask you your thoughts on what you saw, not just yesterday, but the first 3 weeks out of Russell Wilson.
I mean, this is a spectacular player. I mean, this guy's – it's tough to defend. He makes really good decisions. He can extend plays. He's accurate with the football. Pretty much knows what you're in from a coverage standpoint, because he's seen a lot of exotic, defenses. It's one of the best players in the league. If not the best. So this will be an extremely challenging game for us. It's not just him. I mean, they've got receivers, they've got backs, they got good old line, they got tight ends, they play a really good defense, they play well in the kicking game, they're well coached. They've played together for a long time. This is gonna be a tough challenge for us. So we've gotta have a good week of preparation, and then we gotta play well.
Josh.
Morning, Flo. Sorry we didn't raise our hands right away. I think we were tweeting about your hat and the your congrats to the other Miami teams.
That's Matt. Matt's got the whole hand raising thing. You guys just do that, and I'm good.
Not a good idea, Coach.
I wanted to. I guess we ask this every week, but the offensive line and just your thoughts overall on how they perform. And then also, if I could specifically hone in on Austin Jackson, it seems like he's really held it together these first 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think they're coming together. Look, they work hard to all get on the same page. I mean, I think individually they're a hard working group, but collectively as a unit, they understand that communication is important, that playing as a unit is very important. I think Steve's done a really good job and just staying on top of them about the fundamentals, the techniques, working with one another. They spend a lot of time together. That's what you need. That's still a lot of improvement to make. It hasn't been all perfect, but I think as a group, you know, we got leadership from the more veteran guys, Jesse, Ted Karras, Eric, and then our young players, you know, Robert Hunt, Austin Jackson, and Solomon. They're just following their lead, which, you know, I feel like we're talking about that every week. But if we just continue to do that, I think we have a chance to get better, improve, specific to Austin. I know you asked about him, Josh. I think, you know, being a rookie, you know, there's things that he's learning every time he goes out there. You know, every different situation, whether it's third down and a five-man protection, whether it's goal line and what that, you know, how different that snap is than, you know, a normal snap in the field, and how big, strong, and this isn't just specific to Austin, but all those rookies, how big, strong, fast the defensive linemen in this league are. I think he's getting acclimated to that, but every week it's a different challenge. And this week, you know, it's, you know, certainly a big challenge against this group that we're going to see and this team that we're going to see. But I think, you know, if we just continue to try to improve every day, and hopefully we, you know, continue to get better.
Adam?
I think you're froze a little bit, Adam.
All right, we'll go to Steve Wine.
Today's media.
Good morning, Coach. How would you describe Mike Gesicki's development in the time that you've been here? And what do you see as far as yet untapped potential for him and the way you might use him?
You know, Mike, I think Mike's definitely, we've seen a lot of improvement, you know, from him since I've been here and really since his rookie year. And I think that's just, you know, time spent in the league, understanding different defenses, understanding how different, you know, leverages of defenders, understanding coverages. You know, he's got obviously a good rapport with Fitz. And, you know, you're starting to see some of he's talented. When you put all of it together, you know, you can see kind of the talent show up on game day. He's still got a long way to go as far as, you know, there's things in his game that he can improve on, you know, top of the route, releases, things of that nature, blocking. But he's definitely made a lot of improvement. He's made plays for us this season so far. But there's still a lot, you know. He's left a few plays out there also. And I think it's, you know, the tight end room with Durham and, you know, Adam. I mean, it's a good group. They work well together. I think they complement each other well. Chandler Cox is also full back tight end. They complement each other well. You know, I think they're making some improvements. But, again, consistency is a big thing in this league. And that's what we need. And I think you build consistency through practice and walkthroughs and, you know, continuing to work the way that they work to have the little bit of success they've had so far. Again, as an overall team, we got a long way to go. And look, we got a great challenge this week against a really good team. And we're going to have to, you know, really prepare and play well to give ourselves a chance to win.
You know, one of the things that I love about a great coach, I think one of the things you should love about a parent, about yourself, about all of us, is you should always push yourself and never be satisfied with what you're doing. Because you go wash your car, and then later on you finished your car, you looked at it, okay, I did a pretty good job. Then you go in, you go shower, this and that. You walk back out again, you're about to go in your car, and you notice you missed a spot. And that's because it's really hard to be perfect in anything in life. and there's always room for improvement. And when you watch Jimmy Butler in the press conference last night, he was like, you know, we still haven't played our best basketball. And he knows that he has to tell his team, his young team, that the young guys at least, because you don't have to tell that to Jay Crowder and Iguodala and those kind of guys. They already know that they've got to take it to another level. But those young guys might be happy with their accomplishment to the Eastern Conference. They might be happy just beating the Pacers. They might be just happy, you know, beating Milwaukee. Every time you saw that, they always said, we're not done yet. We got to go. We got to finish. And I love how this coach is never satisfied. I love how this coach pushes his players while praising them. And that is so important, because Gesicki has the talent to become even better than what we're seeing now. So you keep them focused, you praise them for their success, but you also keep them focused on their current mistakes, because we all make them and we all have ways of improving stuff. I'll give you an example. Yesterday, it started raining in Philadelphia for the Inter-Philadelphia game. And we didn't know if there was any lightning, because we're not in Philadelphia. So we didn't know if we were going to have a delay or not. Thank the Lord we didn't. Game went on, all that, rain, whatever. They played through the rain because there was no lightning. So last time when we had a lightning delay, we had done our pregame show, and then we went into the delay part of the show until we handed it off to the play-by-play and color guys. And I told them, hey, this is how we're going to do it better. If we have a delay already going into the game, we'll come in, we'll open the show, and we'll send it right to the delay material. And then we'll come back from the delay material when we know there's 20, 30 minutes out, and we'll do the pregame show officially to lead right into the guys. That way it's not us, then 2 hours of rain delay, and then the guys, and then there's separation, right? Because there's always better ways to do things. I didn't like, when I was done, again, like the car, I washed my car, I went in, took a shower, this and that, then I went out to go out, and I noticed I missed a spot that I didn't notice before. Well, that's the same thing. We did the rain delay, we got through it, and then when I was done, I noticed I didn't do it right. There's another way of doing it. There's always a better way of doing anything that you're doing. And being satisfied with any kind of success is a way of allowing you to stay in one place and never grow as a person, as a businessman, as an individual, as anything. So you got to always keep pushing yourself no matter what you do. That's what I like about that coach. Go ahead.
To win.
Joe Shad.
Flo, what are some of the things that first year defensive Josh Boyer and some of the new defensive coaches need to do to reach their full potential as a staff? Obviously, we're very early in the season.
Yeah, I think it's similar to, you know, what we're looking for within the team. You know, getting games under our belt, the communication in game, the communication in practice, the communication post game. I mean, all those things, you know, we're working through. And look, I think we've got a good young staff, and I'm excited about each one of these guys. You know, whether it's, you know, obviously Josh, but Campanelli and, you know, Gerald Alexander and Austin Clark and Hobby, and it's a good group. They work well together, and I think hopefully we grow over the course of the season, like you want your team to grow over the course of the season, you know, offensively, defensively, and in a kicking game. So I'm happy with those guys, and, you know, hopefully we just continue to get better and improve as a unit, because that's what we're asking the players to do.
Sofit?
Hey, Coach, good morning. You know, defensively, what do you tell your players about Russell Wilson's scramble ability and how to try to contain him as much as you can when he's out there on the field?
Well, I mean, you tell me he's a great player. And we have to, you know, we have to do everything at a high level to limit this offense. So from a communication standpoint, from a tackling standpoint, from a, you know, pass rush standpoint. We have to play very well to keep this offense limited and contained. I think, you know, they're going to make some plays. I mean, they're good. You know, they got a good quarterback and they got good players, so they're going to make a few plays. And we just need to try to have good communication, have good technique and fundamentals, tackle well, defend the deep part of the field. You get a good rush and we got to play well. I mean, it's a good offense. It's a good team, you know, led by Russell Wilson, led by Pete Carroll. It'll be definitely a big challenge.
Al?
Enormous challenge.
Hi, Brian. I wanted to ask you about consistency on the roster. Obviously, last year, it seemed like you had a lot of challenges as a head coach with so many changes on the roster. And this year, how comforting must it be to have that stability that you're enjoying right now?
I mean, it's always good to be working with a group of guys consistently. So you can build, some continuity. I think the guys, they work extremely hard to try to build that continuity, that camaraderie. But this league, things happen within the league and, one week's different from the other. So, right now, as we sit, we haven't made a lot of moves that could, very easily change next week. Hopefully you didn't just jinx us, Hal. you want to build continuity and consistency. I think the easiest way to do that is to have the same guys kind of doing the same thing, seeing the same, or having this, the communication with the same guys so that, eventually you get to the point where you pretty much know what the guy next to you is going to say. And eventually you get to the point where you don't have to say anything. That takes time, obviously. It's time on the job with the same guys. So hopefully we can continue, working with the same players in the same positions. But again, this league is, as we've seen, is things change on rosters week to week. So we've got to be able to adjust and be flexible also.
Right, we have time for two more. We'll go to Omar.
Good morning, Flo. I wanted to ask you, how do you feel that Bobby McCain's adjustment to safety, I know it's the second year playing the position, is going, and how important is he to helping the communication back there in the defense?
I think Bobby's a very important part to our defense. I think, safety, linebacker, but specifically safety, you're the quarterback of the defense. So a lot of what he does is getting guys lined up pre-snap so that we can have, a good, let's call it post-snap play. I think he's done a good job of that. I think in some instances we've been aligned correctly. We've been in the right places, but, we either haven't made the play or had a bad post-snap read or but Bobby's been – he's played well so far this year. And, his leadership, his communication, I think he's tackled well thus far. So I think he's played well, and we need him to continue to play well. We need other guys to kind of play the way he's been playing, and his leadership, it definitely shows up on our team. And, I've been very pleased with him.
All right. Final question. Sopit.
Coach, last season it took 8 weeks for you guys to get your first win. This season, 3 weeks in, what can that do for your psyche as a coach, your assistants, and your players to have a win under their belts this early in the season?
And it's always good to win. No one likes losing. But obviously winning builds confidence. And again, the guys have worked extremely hard, so it's always nice to get a win so that, all that hard work, it's for a reason. But it's for a reason whether you win or lose, And I think, guys need to understand that there's a maturity that comes with there's a maturity you have to understand that, that you know, that continued, you know, the way you work and the way you prepare, you know, eventually, you know, you'll see results from it. And that's the kind of the message that, you know, we as a staff try to, you know, give to the players. And I think they take it to heart and they understand it. And I think we've seen improvement over the first, you know, 3 weeks, and hopefully we've continued to improve. And again, hopefully we're a better team now, excuse me, down the road or a week from now or 2 weeks from now or 10 weeks from now than we are right now. So that's always the message. But yes, you know, winning builds confidence, and it just reinforces, you know, a lot of the things that we're already saying as coaches, that if you, you tackle well, you block well, you defeat blocks, you break tackles, you know, hit explosive plays, you limit explosive plays, you play well in the kicking game, kick coverage, you block on kickoff return, you know, we can, or punt return, and we can create, you know, first downs in that area as well. It just, you know, when you talk about it and then you watch it happen in a game, it just reinforces a lot of the things you're saying, and it builds confidence. So it's always good to win. And, you know, again, we got a tough, tough challenge this week. We got a very good team. So we're going to have to really play well, really prepare well to give ourselves a chance.
There you go. That's the head coach. And I don't think there's a lot of stuff there to break down that is, it was kind of all, you know, how shall I say, a company line pretty much is what you got there. A lot of the obvious stuff there from Coach Flo. Now, let me give you a subject that continues, which I get it. It's going to continue because we haven't recovered from Marino. And the Tua talk. Did you see the video I posted? Did you see the shot that Joe Burrow took? Did you see that video?
No, but I watched the game. I watched a lot of the game, and I saw him getting hit.
All right, so you like didn't even bother to check the tweet I sent you. Okay.
I probably did, yes, anyway, and I don't remember seeing it. I was watching the games, man.
Anyway, I'm trying to, you know.
Sorry, bro.
I try to set him up as a producer. Hey, here's material so you can look at. Anyway. So, Joe Burrow got his clock rocked badly. Now, remember, Joe Burrow is much bigger than Tua. He has been sacked 14 times in 3 games. Those of you out there that are dying to play Tua, I don't understand you at all. The Dolphins are playing just fine right now without him. And, you know, some guy said to me on Twitter, hey, well, the Dolphin offensive line is playing better than the Bengals line. Yeah, but maybe it's because the quarterback is helping that offensive line play better, because that quarterback is making quick decisions. And do you think Tua can go do the running around that Fitz does and take on hits and all that? No, I don't want that for Tua. Fitz can play, you know, on the seat of his pants and on the edge of his seat and go out there and play like a maniac because, you know, this is his last shot at it. So let him have fun and let him go do it and let him do whatever it takes to win. God bless you. But that's not how I want Tua playing. I want Tua playing like a smart quarterback. I don't want Tua like Garoppolo, who then takes on a blocker or a tackler and ends up blowing out his knee, and then he misses the rest of last year. No, 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 no. I want my guy playing smart. So do you think that the team would be better with Tua, or do you think they would be worse and players wouldn't be performing at the highest level? Because now you're putting the pressure of everything on Tua. I mean, Justin Herbert yesterday, what'd he throw? One touchdown? Right? That's what he threw, right? I think it was one touchdown. So after all of that, it's not like he's putting up these incredible numbers for the Chargers. And he took a beating, too, on top of all of that. And remember, they lost guys, too, to offensive line injuries like Pouncey, who is out for the year. Herbert threw one touchdown and 330 yards and an interception. Yes, he has some nice throws. I get all of that. But he did make his share of mistakes, too. And he's taken a beating. And they're 1-2. And he's only playing because Tyrod Taylor's injured and got his lung punctured. And the coach is the first guy to say, well, once we get Tyrod back, he's back in there. But they haven't been able to get him back. And so I get that you want Tua playing. I understand all of that. But I want Tua playing under proper conditions. I don't want him taking a beating at this point in time. And he will take more hits than Fitz. Because if you think he's going to read and decipher defenses faster than Fitz, you're out of your mind. He's a smart kid. He works hard. But he's never played at the NFL level. And I don't care who you are, you're going to struggle in this game. That's just the way it is. I get it. Marino did what he did. Those are freaks. Those are freaks. The athlete that plays quarterback, you can do stuff with that person because that will also kind of keep people off balance. Burrow yesterday threw for 312 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Solid game. But he took a pounding, bro. Philadelphia got 8 sacks yesterday. 8 sacks. Are you kidding me? You know how many times, if they got 8 sacks, how many times do you think they hit the quarterback, Bill?
Oh, you got to at least double that number more than likely.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't need that right now for Tua. I like the way the Dolphins are developing this football team, and they're taking their time in order to develop the players and to develop their future quarterback. I know this whole thing, oh, well, you don't learn anything on the sidelines. I get it, but it doesn't. So did it work out badly for Aaron Rodgers sitting on the sidelines? Did it work out badly for Donovan McNabb sitting out for a year? Did it work out badly that was? I think Marino sat for a couple of games. Was it like 5-6 games or something? And guys have sat for a season or two or three, and most of them have benefited from that. Aaron Rodgers looked like he was completely ready after sitting that many years, and I don't want him to do that. I don't mind this 1 year with no offseason. The kid's coming back from hip surgery. It hasn't even been a year yet. I don't mind him sitting, waiting, letting it heal even more and let the team develop a little bit more because I don't want him taking 8 sacks in a game. Let me ask you something. Those 8 sacks, do you believe those 8 sacks were on the offensive line? That means the quarterback is not going to read everything right. He's going to make bad decisions. He's going to end up holding on to the ball a little bit too much, and then he's going to take hits. I wouldn't be surprised. I didn't watch the game. I only watched highlights and portions of the game. But I would imagine, okay, that between 2 to 4 sacks are his fault. So that's an extra 2 or 4 times that he took a sack. I don't know how many other extra times that he took hits, too. Rookie quarterbacks go through one hell of a, christening in this league.
Maybe you need to explain that everybody on the field is moving twice as fast as he's used to seeing.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
And that's the problem.
Yes.
Everything is just whizzing by.
Everything's faster. And he will take way more hits than even Fitz is taking. Because he's going to take longer to make decisions than Fitz. And that's not good.
Here, another thing. I'm sure the conversation is at another level in the pros. That nice religious boy that he is. Some of the things they're going to say to him might, make him cringe a little bit.
Yep. All right, let's take a quick break. It's the bottom of the hour. We'll do that for the first time. What do you want me to do? 3 straight hours of talk? Come on. So let's take a quick break here. We'll come back on the other side. If you want to get in, chime in on the chat board, a little super chat action, YouTube on our text line, 786-322-1105. on Twitter at Big O Show. You got any questions, any comments, post them now. I will answer them next. Hey, it's Big O. For all of your CBD, THC, or hookah needs, you got to get on down to VSS West Pines at 12397 Pembroke Road. Yes, they have got legal THC. You've got to check it out. And they've got, of course, when it comes to CBD, flower, tinctures, edibles, for all kinds of reasons, whether it's pain, stress, anxiety, you name it. And don't forget, when you mention my name, you'll get 20% off. Tell the boys out there that I told you to get on down to VSS West Pines, 12397 Pembroke Road, and call them 954-613-3367. Legal THC, CBD, all of your hookah needs. You go to VSS West Pines.
Are you tired of watching the same old travel videos on the internet? Well, then check out MikeNoGoZones.com, a travel documentary that's breaking barriers. I go to the places that the media tells you to fear, where no one else dares to go. Baltimore, Opa-locka, south side of Chicago, and more. Go to MikeNoGoZones.com.
Hey, it's Big O for EJD Construction. Listen, I've been telling you about Eric for a long time now. Custom home builder for additions, home remodeling. We're not talking about a handyman. Maybe you want to redo that man cave. We're not going to a lot of live sporting events. So you want to improve that experience in your man cave? Call him 305-433-4843. Tell him that Big O sent you and go to the Instagram page. You can see the before and after there. You'll be impressed. EJD underscore construction. Call them 305-433-4843 or go to the website ejdconstruction.com.
America's premium sports sedan is at Acura of Pembroke Pines, and this is how we do it. TLX $259 a month. $259 at Acura of Pembroke Pines, the number one volume Acura dealer.